Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Church, the world has no hope of loving each other without Jesus. Love is difficult. Now, I'm going to tell you, it is. See, it's, well, no, it's not. I love so-and-so, and I love this person, and I love this person. I'm not talking about the emotion of love. I'm talking about the choice of love. See, God chose us. God chose to love us in our unlovable state. That's Christ-like. That's Christ. So we're to operate in that same position. And I know it's tough. I mean, because sometimes the choices that you make in life are tough. They're tough. Some of y'all are sitting in a marriage right now going, "You're right, Pastor." Well, I'm telling you, it can be tough to love my spouse. And I understand that, because there are days that I'm sure my wife says, "Well, it's tough to love him." Don't say amen. See, if we get to the point where love is a choice, now I'm not getting into all the Greek definitions today, I may do that later, but right now I just want to talk about what our understanding of love is not an emotion, it is what we understand it to be, but it's a choice that we make to love someone because someone loved us through a choice when we were unlovable. So we'll love someone else through a choice when they can be unlovable. And that can be tough. That can be tough. Making a decision that you will love will help you to keep loving when you don't feel like loving. See, let me say that again, because that was a good point. Making a decision that you will love will help you when the emotion's not there to still love them. Because there will be times when you've chosen to love someone that you don't get goosebumps when you look at them. And I'm not talking just a spouse. I'm talking about a friend. I'm talking about someone at school. They're going to do something or say something, and you're going to go, "Do you love?" No, I don't love them. Well, I'm not talking about the feeling. I'm talking about, did you make a choice to love them? 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to go through a bunch of scripture runs, and you can keep up or write them down either way. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7 says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God." Let me say that again. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Anyone who loves is a child of God. Did you know that you can't be loved outside of God? Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. So if someone tells you they love you and they don't know God, that's not love. Because anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Oh, never thought about that before. We're just reading scripture today. Verse 8. "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. How many of you heard that? Right there's where that comes from. God is love. The definition of love is God. The definition of God is love. So when they go hand in hand. They are the same. God is love. So for you to love, you have to know God. You can't truly love others. You can't love yourself until you first love God. That's it. "Honey, I love you." No, you don't, because you don't know Jesus. Now, you don't want to say that to someone who's not saved. It's not a good witnessing tool. "I just love you." And I can believe that when I know that person loves God. But the older I get, the more I understand that we're fake in our Christianity. And I say we like everybody, and I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking about this is something you have to choose, and it's a fight. It's a fight to love. It's a fight to love because it's not a natural human emotion outside of a feeling. So there has to be a choice for God for you to have the choice for people. Now, that's my whole sermon. And I could quit right there if you got it, but I don't. Some of y'all are still looking at me like you don't got it. So when I see your faces start to get it, I'll quit. but I'm just going to keep talking and read more scripture for a while. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39. And Mark 12, 29 through 31, they say the same thing basically. Verse 36 in Matthew 22 says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "What'd he say? You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second, equally as important, is love your neighbor as yourself." All right, so these are all three in the same area, but understand that you can't love your neighbor without loving God. You can't. You cannot love your neighbor without loving God. See, loving God is imperative so that you can get the love of your neighbor part out of you. Because your neighbor won't always make you feel good. And I'm not talking about your next door neighbor. I'm talking about your acquaintances. People in life that you know, that you do life with, or that are a part of your life. John 13, verse 34. John 13, verse 34 says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other." Oh, that's a tough one now. Church, love each other. And God says, love the way that I loved you. Well, how did he love us? He loved us unconditionally, because if there had been a condition, he couldn't have loved us. Because he was perfect and we were imperfect. He was light, we were dark. That don't work. So he had to love us in our condition. What's he saying? Love other people the same way. Love other people in their condition, and don't say, "I love you in your condition." Because God don't say that. "I love you in your condition." What God says is, "I love you. I love you. I love you, regardless of all the things you've done, regardless of how you talked to your coworker last week, regardless of what you just said to your wife, regardless of ladies, what you just said to your husband, regardless of the face you just made, regardless of the way you misspent last week, regardless of the way that you talked about somebody behind their back, but boy, I love you." Aren't you glad God loves us when we mess up that bad? Can you love somebody else like that? I didn't expect a lot of amens right there. Your love for one another, verse 35 of John 13, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Right here in this verse explains where we have messed everything up. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Why does the world not look to Christians for anything? Because they're loving wrong. Now, I want to talk about some ways that we can love right. Romans 8, let me just read a few more verses. Verse 37 of Romans 8. "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then he says, Love others the way I've loved you. Well, how did I love you? I loved you. Neither death nor life, angels, demons, fears today, worries tomorrow, powers of hell. Nothing can separate us from God's love. But you know, someone just says something bad about you and they can immediately separate your love for them. All of a sudden, somebody just says something and you quit loving them. Boy, I'm telling you, this is tough. Anybody who says loving people is easy is not, you ain't got it figured out. It's tough. It is a choice, because people are people. And they're going to wrong you and they're going to do something that you don't like. Romans 8, 28, "We know all things work together for good. For those that what? Love God and are called according to his purpose." We have a call on our life for his purpose. 1 John 3:18, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions." And what that's saying is, let me just get a little deeper. You can't just say it. For all you that say, well, I tell them I love them all the time. I mean, I heard one guy, I've read this and seen this 100 times. I told my wife I loved her when we got married, and if it changes, I'll let you know. That way I don't ever have to say I love you again. That's not the way it is. But it's not just a said thing, it's a do thing. It's a do thing. I mean, are you doing this? Are you doing this? 1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. And then it says, discipline yourself for holiness. Train yourself to be godly. Discipline yourself for holiness. Without love, there is no God. Really? No, because God is love. So if you take love out of the picture, you take God out of it. So without love, there's no God. There's no reason for life because God is the reason for life. So if you take love out of your life, then you've taken, in essence, you've taken God out. Come on, think about that. It's either love or nothing. Really, I mean, everything else without love amounts to nothing. There is, hear this, there's no good apart from love. There is no goodness apart from love. There's no virtue, no purity. There's no obedience apart from love. There's no righteousness. There's no hope. There's no faith. And there's no devotion without love. There's not. There is no such thing as holiness without love. They go hand in hand. So you're talking about making Jesus Lord, then you better make him Lord by showing his love because that's what he is. See, there is no such thing as holiness distinct or separate from love. And this is where we as Christians get this whole thing messed up. Because we're trying to tell the people of this world, you need to act this way, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And the thing is that we're trying to tell them all the aspects of holiness, but we're separating love out of it. So Christians have got this bad rap because all we talk about is, here's what you should do, and should do. And until they know Jesus, they don't know love. And until they know love, they don't know Jesus. And without that, then they won't want to follow any of the things that are mandates to the Christian life. Love comes first. First is love. First is love. And the more I've thought about this, the more I thought, this has got to be our message. Well, you just have a camp that's just a bunch of fun. No, we show them how to have fun in Christ. But know this, we show them how to have fun in love. We're going to love every one of these campers that come in this week. We're going to love them with the love that Christ has. Now, are all these campers going to be just righteous and in perfect shape? And I mean, just I'm talking about discipline and yes, sir, yes, ma'am. I'd be happy to do that. And no, you're going to have some of them going, I want my mom. That'll be Monday night. And what Michelle will do? If the counselor can't handle it, they're going to take her to love. Because all she's going to do is wrap her arms around him. She's going to love him. She's going to say, you know what? I love you. I'm going to hug you. And we're going to talk about life. And we're going to start showing our love because it's the truth that has to win out. And it's the distinction of the truth that will be love shown, not just saying, I love you. That's what we try to teach all of our counselors. You got to know how to love. You got to know how to love. Well, how do you do it? You don't just say it. You show them. You show them. Holiness apart from love is impossible. And know this, that's where we're having such a hard time dealing with what's going on in our culture. It really is. Because we're trying to tell them how they're supposed to live, but we're missing the element of love. See, there's a discipline of love, Christian, today that I think that we've got to talk about in this place. It's not just something that happens, it's trained in you. So let's do a training session today. Y'all ready? Let's do a training session. The Bible says that we are to train ourselves in love. Well, you say, I don't have to be trained to love. I know how to love. Then love your enemy. Because that's what the Bible says to do. Love your enemy. Well, who's my enemy? Anybody who hates you. Anybody who doesn't like you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you can just smile and kind of, I'll know what you're saying. I mean, y'all have family members that hate you. Maybe hate's a strong word. They don't want to be around you. I'm not saying that you love them to the point that they want to be around you. They may still not want to be around you, but are you able to love them? See, God loves people who still don't want to be around him. You can love people that still don't want to be around you, but you got to be trained. Because it don't just happen. It's just not like, I'm saved, now I love everybody. It don't work. You may the second you get saved because you're so full of God. But just in a few minutes, maybe a few hours, it won't take very long, and that love just starts kind of slipping away. And where did the love go? I need to get saved again. No, you didn't work on it. There's work that comes here. See, but Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. You got to know that love takes work. See, people who really love and people who say they do, there are two different peoples. And it takes God to love people and understanding that it takes work and there are things that we can work on. Let's talk about them. Well, what are we going to talk about? 1 Corinthians. Let's go to the love chapter. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. verse 1, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Understand, faith without love is not faith. You can't have faith in God without having faith in love. So we just keep talking here, but you just place God every place and put love in there, and it'd be the same thing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So church, here's what love is. Verse 4. Love is patient and kind, not jealous, boastful, or proud, or rude. It doesn't demand its own way, it's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, love never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Verse 8, love lasts forever. Love improvements. Because we got to improve on our love. Come on, church, hear what I'm saying today. As Christian people, if we're going to go out and win this lost world, we got to figure out some ways where we can improve our ability to show them God. Well, how are we going to show them God? We're going to show them love. Because they're hand in hand. They're love God. God is love. So we got to show them love if we're going to show them God. But you go out and just try to tell them what to do every time you turn the corner. Well, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. You got to show them God first, and then they can get the other things. You got to show them God so they can be in right standing. Matthew 6:33. If anyone's in Christ, they are in right standing. They are in right standing. They are with God. See, they are understanding. If anyone is in Christ, we got to get a hold of this. The right standing comes and then things are added. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You got to seek the love of God. You got to seek God. And then you can add these things. People can't get things added until they get a hold of the love of God. All right, number one. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. You know, really, I don't want to talk about any of this today. Because I know that some people here are going to be jabbing others and looking across the... Just receive this for yourself today. Let's not think about everybody else. Let's just think. I may tell some stories and you'll agree with them and you'll think of somebody else, but do your best to put this back on yourself. Love is patient and love is kind. How many of us are really patient and kind? When your wife and kids are sitting inside and you're in the car and you need to leave 10 minutes earlier. The horn is an option. And some of you, some of us have executed that option. See, you lost your car keys and you were confident that your wife picked them up and put them somewhere. Or your cord for your drone. How many of you are patient and kind? Well, I'm just getting down to where I live. Not even talking about you today. Losing your car keys, you start blaming others. Losing your charger for whatever it is. See, people not doing what they said they would. Waiting on people. Honking the horn. Okay, you got the point of not all of us are patient and kind all the time. So we got to work on it, don't we? So how are we going to work on being patient and kind? Well, I'm glad you asked. Being kind and patient. Be kind and patient. That's how you work? No. It's hard to work on it when your patience is out. Man, and all of us have been there. I have run. Parents, come on. Every one of you here. I'm running out of patience. That has came out of everybody here's mouth at some point. I'm running out of patience. And if it you're getting ready to. I'm running out of patience here. Bite your lip. Do your best to shut the car off and get out if that horn is put. See, you gotta in your mind go, well, everybody here has been in line with someone who is new in training at the cash register. Three times this week. New and you're in training, aren't you? Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, something happened this week when that happened to me, the third time. Because finally I bit my lip, I got a hold of myself, and I got the right facial expression. And so I'm, oh, what's going on here? And I don't know how to handle this. And I'm trying to, you're in training, aren't you? Yeah. I'm so sorry. I know this is taking a while. And you know what? That's all right. That's all right. It's no big deal. And I just smiled real big at him. And inside I was fighting. That's the fight and the discipline that you need to show love. See, if we're going to work on this, we got to have some examples of what. And so I'm talking about the one of three. The third one, I finally realized I didn't produce with the first two. What I said, can you hurry up? I'm really in a hurry. That didn't show patience and kindness. The third one, well, the second one, can you get your manager, please? The third one, take your time, it's okay. She stopped and she goes, nobody said that to me today. That's what that young lady said, and she goes, thank you. And it didn't take but just a second after that for her to get done. And I brought God on the scene, and he helped me and her both out. Love is patient and love is kind. This week, you're going to be there. Because everybody's training, it seems like, right now. I don't know why. You're going to be in line at Walmart. And you're going to be going. Or at Sam's this week. This is for both of us, babe. Patience and kindness. We got to work on it. Because we're not good at it sometimes. And what we do when we lose our patience and kindness, we just took God out of the picture. Work on it. Work on it. Number two, before I even get to the rest of these, let me just say, if you ever go to church and don't get your toes stepped on, then you didn't really get what you were needing that day. So there's got to be some correcting going on with the Word of God. That's what it does. The love, as we talk about the discipline of love, it can be tough. Love is never jealous, and it's not envious. Same verse. Let me just say, jealousy is not always because of another person when you're in a relationship. Well, I'm jealous of that person. No, no. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Maybe someone makes or has more than you and you're jealous of them. So there's different definitions here under the word jealousy. Others' accomplishments, other people have this accomplishment in their life and it makes you feel like you're a nobody because they accomplished something. Maybe someone else's kid is doing something that your kid can't and they're the same age. Well, that's not a big deal. Oh, come on. You sit there and go, huh? One church doing something that another church isn't doing. Why isn't my church doing that? So we can just, maybe kids in your own household favor one parent in a certain situation. And you get jealous of your spouse. Jealousy is a natural thing that comes up on us. I just want you to know, because we're born in sin and the devil knows what our sin nature is and we are tempted, the Bible says, by our own evil desires. And so that's a desire that will come up in us to be jealous. What you got to do is you got to recognize it as something the devil will use as a tool real quick, and it works as a corrosive acid in your life. And jealousy will never produce for you, not once ever. Whether it be in a relationship, a situation that you're jealous about, someone, or whether it be in a situation with your kids or your next door neighbor. So how do I work on it, Pastor? Have you heard the term stop, drop, and roll? Fire! Fire! I'm on fire! Stop, drop, and roll! I'm jealous. I'm just jealous of their life, and I'm frustrated, and I'm just, why do they always come out smelling like a rose? I don't get this. It's so frustrating to me. Stop, drop it, and love. What do you mean love? Because if you start loving, then jealousy and envy won't be there anymore. So stop it, bite your tongue, quit, drop it, quit talking about it, and love. Well, how do I do that? With the love of Jesus. Destroy the power of jealousy and envy, and that takes work. Come on, church, that takes work. It takes work. It's battery acid for your life if you don't shut it down. Number three, love is never boastful, and it's not proud. You ever heard people say, well, our friendship just grew apart? We just kind of grew apart. It was tough. We just grew apart. Love is never boastful or proud. One person or group does really good as long as one doesn't feel inferior or above the other. But when one group starts feeling superior to the other, then you quit relying on them for anything. When I'm above them. Well, you would never say that. I get that. No Christian would ever say that. I'm above that. I'm above them. I'm superior to them. No, but you'll think it. And when you start thinking it, then you'll lose the ability to connect with them. You'll lose your love for them. Love's never boastful or proud. See, it's kind of like a drowning person in the water, and what you're doing is this person's drowning and they grab somebody else who's not doing real well in the water and they're trying to make themselves be successful, and they grab this person who's barely making and they shove them under so that they can elevate themselves out of the water. That's not love. That's not love. Just because somebody's drowning or in a situation. See, work on staying real and down to earth. How do we work on this? Stay real. It's difficult for two people. I understand in a friendship, in a marriage, in siblings, it's in a relationship, whatever, in families. It is difficult for two people to be on the same page all the time. It's hard. In fact, it's just almost impossible to be on the same page all the time. But you got to lean on each other and not take each other for granted. And don't put someone down to put you up. Okay, number four. Are you getting some of these? Verse five. Love's never selfish and not rude. Love's not selfish and not rude. Saying something unkind to others about someone who you say you love is a no-no. Or in front of someone, bringing something that would embarrass them in front of everybody. Well, how does that have to do with it? That's being selfish or it's being rude. Don't be rude. Work on listening to yourself talk. Did you hear what you just said? There are times that I've had to remind myself of this there's a lot of times. Did you hear what you just said? It's just like the Holy Spirit said, hear yourself talking. Hear what you just said. That didn't come out the way you meant it. The other day, Rod Cowan, and he was not here today because he's making arrangements there for his mom. And I love Rod, great, great man of God. And I came up and said something to him. He had given me a bill for something he was working on something we were doing. And I said, well, do you want me to go get the check now or do you want me to pay you later? I was supposed to have the check here and I don't have it. And all of a sudden I said, oh, but you're doing good. And I walked back to my seat and it hit me. You're doing good? Where did that come from? He's supposed to cover me. He's supposed to cover me. That is so wrong on every level, Pastor. That was my self-talk. I walked back over to Rod and I said, Rod, I love you and I've got plenty of money to pay for this and my checkbook's in my car and I should have never said that. Will you forgive me? I love you and I'm sorry. We'll take care of this right now. Rod said, yeah. Now that may not have done anything, but I know what the devil can do afterwards. See, there's a lot of times something will come out of your mouth or someone will let something come out of your mouth. You got to love them enough to let it go. And if you're the one that said it, you got to love them enough to make it go right, get it right. So it goes both ways here, but love's never selfish or rude. And sometimes you say something and you didn't mean for it to be rude, but then you, in your thinking about it or your revelation from the Holy Spirit as he reveals truth to you, you all of a sudden go, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing that. Right then you need to go get that fixed. Pick up that phone. Don't text them. If it's available to go over to their house, go over to their house. Let them see Christ through you. And sometimes that's hard through a text. Now, I don't know how I got off on that, but that's. Be considerate in speech. And let me say this for all you extroverts, be silent as much as you can. It'll help you to show your love. You won't be selfish and rude as much if you just kind of do this. Ask yourself, if that was said to you, would it be hurtful? But sometimes that don't even help. Because you think, no, I wouldn't have got offended by that. Well, they did. And you didn't show God. You were selfish and you were rude. Be a good listener. See, they got to know, people got to know that words or actions were hurtful before. See, you got to know that. They have to know that those words or actions, that they were hurtful. If you love the person, you need to let them know that they're hurting you because sometimes people just don't get it. But if you can love them enough, you can love them enough by telling them without hurting them. But sometimes when somebody gets hurt, it's like two animals. One's backed in the corner. You're hurting me. You're hurting me. So what do? I'm going to hurt you back. And then we got this fight going on because why? God left the scene. Well, how did God leave the scene? God didn't leave the scene. No, you all of a sudden became selfish and rude. No love, no God. Come on. Number six, love's not irritable or touchy. Ladies, hear me today. Men, hear me today. Love is not irritable or touchy. Verse 5, understand this, we all have bad days. Okay, I get this. We all have bad days. But watch your attitude. Watch your attitude. all of a sudden jump because someone else said something that you were just a little irritable about things that day. Bad day at work, bad day at home does not need to be a reflection of how you treat everybody else. Come on, that's a great place for an amen. Work on recognizing when you're a little touchy. You're a little irritable. You had a bad day at work. Recognize that. And don't drag everybody else down because you feel drugged down. See, that's not God, and you just let God out of the scene. You just said, hey, I don't really want you here. Number 7, love doesn't hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Keeps no record of wrongdoing. Let me ask you this today. Are you still mad at so-and-so, you fill in the blank, for something that happened 5, 10, 20 years ago? Holding a mistake over someone's head for life. I'm going to hold this over their head for life. What you just are saying is, Jesus must not have died for me. And for sure didn't them. Ooh, that's kind of extreme, Pastor. You can't hold grudges over someone's head for life and show the love of Jesus. You can't do it. Praise God he didn't hold it over my head for what I've done. Praise God he didn't do it for you either. He saved you regardless of how bad a person you were. If you love a person and they're hurting you, and I mean, if you love a person, you love someone, you've got to make sure that you understand how important it is that you let things go. Work on not bringing up past issues. In marriage, a lot of times, we've got that one situation where we remember where we got hurt. And we like hold it in our back pocket with like a hand grenade. And when the fight gets intense enough, we're going to pull it out. We're going to take the pin off and say, okay, let me just throw this into the pot. Remember what you did then? That worked. Everybody's hurt, burned, and some of them are almost dead. That hand grenade did you a lot of good. Let it go. Let it go. Forget it. If it's brought up, what do you do when it's brought up? You say, thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his forgiveness. I mean, really, that's a tool you can use. When that thing is brought up and it's about you or it's about someone else, immediately start realizing that is under the blood. In my life, in their life, praise God, we're all saved. We know Jesus. That's under the blood. It's not going to be brought up no more. And that takes work. It is work to love. Michelle and I have got a past. We don't bring hand grenades into the fire. It's already heated up enough sometimes. There's no reason to bring up 5 weeks ago. Got enough for today. Number 8, love's never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Have you ever said the classic phrase, I told you so? Anybody? You're not going, I'm not going to admit it. Told you so. How did it feel? Oh, it felt good. It does. Why? Because our sin nature and selfishness makes it that, but it takes God out of the scene. It takes God out of the scene. See, because love can't be a feeling. And if you're feeling that, I need to say, I told you so, you need to know real quick when it comes out of your mouth, you just say, God, I'm not interested in your help here. Told you so. Bye, God. Don't need your help here. We end up getting satisfactions oftentimes in other people's failure. That's not good. It's not good. Work on resisting the impulse to gloat. Praise successes. You know, we can get caught up in others' failures and not have the right attitude in our prayer life. It's hard to pray for someone when you're satisfied at their failure. You got to love people. But thinking they got what was coming to them is not the right attitude. Number 9, got 2 more. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to them no matter what the cost. In verse 7, being loyal, church, hear this, is a big deal. It means standing by whenever and whatever is needed. That's what being loyal is. Defending them to others when they're not around. Loving them in spite of their human imperfections, mentally, physically. See, I'm chewing, chomping ice, slurping drinks. Loving them. Their interests aren't your interests. Their hobbies aren't your hobbies. Their accent isn't your accent. It doesn't matter. Stand up for your Christian brothers. There's enough fighting going on, and I'm sick and tired of Christians putting down other Christians. What in the world is that helping the cause of Christ? It's not. It's not showing love, and they're taking God right out of it. And you can get on any website and you can see that. And what I'm here to tell you, as far as Christian ministries is concerned, and this pastor, praise God, they're serving Jesus. I may not agree with their method. I may not agree with all that they're doing, but I major on that, and I'm not going to further the cause of Christ. Sorry, got a little high horse. Quit throwing people under the bus. Love them. Work on daily saying something kind about people. Standing up for someone who's under attack. There's enough Christians under attack. There's people we need to be standing behind. Our council in Springfield, getting ready to face a bunch of it. There's some Christian people you need to stand behind. See, there's some things that we don't even think about, and we're going to find all the things we disagree with, and we're going to major on all the things that we disagree with, and it's going to keep us from the things we do agree with. Number 10 and the last one, you know, you'll always believe in someone you love. You'll always expect the best of them, and you always stand your ground in defending them. Mama told me growing up, and she's here today, if you can't say something nice about someone, yeah, don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing. If you can't say something, let me just tell you, church, if you want to continue to see Christian ministries grow, people discipled in the Lord, people won to Jesus Christ, not just in here but outside of these walls, if you want to see that happen, we got to love people. How do we love people? We bring God on the scene. And so we got to know that. There is work in loving people. And see, if you'll love them, you'll always expect the best of them. You'll always stand your ground in defending them. That is the work of love. And let me tell you, if you'll put forward that work, there is great rewards. There is great, great rewards. Let's improve our love. Let's increase the kingdom of God by loving people. Let's increase, come on, are you ready to do that? Let's go out this week and find some way we can work in these areas. You know what? It won't take you till tomorrow. You'll have a situation today. I promise you, you will. Just going outside of here and getting in the car, you're going to have to fight to love someone. You are. Just some of y'all go, man, I'm pastor. I didn't want to hear this. You must have been in our car this morning. No. I wasn't. I'm just showing the word because we all need to be corrected by it. And if we're going to cause the world to see God, we've got to let them see love.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.